a great privilege to be back here at Home Baptist Church and to preach in this conference. We spent three wonderful years here as a member of this church, and we cherish those years. I'm going to ask you this morning to turn to Psalms 139. And about 6 months ago, as I'm away to Russellville, and I was listening to this guy that Brother Hancock would describe as Dr. Fahrenheit, instructing preachers, young preachers, how to be able to preach better. And he said, you need to be able to quote at least four other men and practice your message before you get in the pulpit. He says, well, I've got both covered. I'm going to quote from David and Moses and John and Paul this morning. And I preached this last Sunday at Northside, so I got it all covered. But in all seriousness now, we would invite you to Psalms 139, beginning in verse 1. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid mine hand upon me, or excuse me, thine hand. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in thy mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Looking back at verses 13 and 14, he says, For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Our subject today is that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And we're going to look at three areas in which we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The first pertains to this physical body that we all see at this time. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. We did not evolve from some piece of slime. And when you, as we want to look this morning here at the functions of the human body, And as we do so, think about this. How could a piece of slime progress from slime to a human being? That'd be a pretty smart piece of slime. And like Brother Larry is a registered nurse, and he has studied anatomy and human functions of the bodies, and he could probably tell us better than I can this morning of the miracles of the workings of the human body. But we are going to attempt to do that. But when we see here in verse 14 again, when he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My soul knoweth right well. Paul, remember David here, he's talking to we who are saved. This lost world has no concept of being fearfully and wonderfully made. But we as the children of God, as we look at the Word of God and we examine the Word of God, we can say with David here that marvelous are thy works. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And in verse 13 he says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And there's nothing more astonishing to the human mind than the development of a child in a mother's womb. It's marvelous. Today, this very moment, I'm 62 years and 6 months old. That means a little over 63 years ago, my heart began to beat in my mother's womb. And come September, be 63 years since I've been out of her womb and breathing the air. And it's all because I was fearfully and wonderfully made. And when we look back in the book of Genesis concerning being fearfully and wonderfully made, we find in verses 26 and 27 of Genesis chapter 1, after God had spoken everything into existence, man was not upon the face of the earth at that time. And when you think about everything that existed, God spoke and it appeared. But he dealt with man differently. But in verse 26 it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let us have let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. There's no doubt in my mind that everything existed, everything that exists in this world today, God has created.
Amen.
And we know from Romans that even the idiots, if they go outside and look at this world, could say that it didn't happen by itself. God had to make it. It had to have a creator. But here, when it says, and God said, let us make man in our own image. That word make is the same one that's in verse 14, when it says, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Same word. I was formed in my mother's womb. I was created in my mother's womb by the miraculous power of Almighty God. Amen. Now, you know, man will say, and which is true, that when man and woman come together and the seed of the man unites with the seed of the woman, there's conception and a child begins to form in the mother's womb. This is true. But it's all because of God's marvelous work. In verse 7 of chapter 2, we find that God created man in a different mode than he did everything else in this world. We find here in verse 7 it says, and the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Amen.
That word formed means that God took the dust of the ground and he molded it, he shaped it. And if you've ever played with clay, and most of all of us played with clay when we were kids growing up, some after we become adults, especially if you've got little kids you play with, and we've all shaped that clay into objects. God took the dust of the ground and He shaped it. He formed Adam. And when He had formed Adam, we see here it says He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Therefore, man is fearfully and wonderfully made, different than any other thing that exists upon the face of this earth. And I'm so thankful that we are created in the image of God, as He said. We're body, soul, and spirit. We're supposed to be the intelligent creation. But as was mentioned already this morning concerning the homosexuals, you know, there's some people don't realize that male and female are different. Yet you find creatures out here in the world that are not supposed to be as smart as us realize that. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully means that we have a positive knowledge that God made us, and we reverence Him for it. We here today, we reverence God. We honor God because He has created us. We're special creations. Now we look at each one of us here this morning. There's not two of us that are identical. But yet, we are of the same creation. Amen. We have the same Creator. We are all the offspring of Adam. We're all the offspring of Adam and Eve. So we all have the same Creator. Wonderfully means that each of us are unique and special in God's creation.
Amen.
It's been said before, and I'm glad that we're all different. I'm glad that God has given us all different abilities. Some are able to perform different tasks in this world that need to be taken care of. I don't know how to be an electrician. There are those here today that do. I don't know how to plumb, but there are people here today that can. There are different functions that need to be done, and God has given us all that function, that ability to know exactly what we need to do for this world to continue. Not all of us are called to preach. Some that say they've been called to preach, you wonder if they were. Not all of us have the same understanding, but yet we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. Every one of us. Marvelous are thy works. Miraculous is God's creativity in each one of us. Believe it or not, I'm the tallest member of my immediate family. I'm not talking about my daughters. I'm talking about my siblings and my parents. At one time I was 5'5". I've probably shrunk some. But I was the tallest member. That is not saying a whole lot, is it? But God made some that are tall. He's made some of us that are less of stature. And one day, one of the kids at school was kind of poking fun at me because, you know, he's 6'3" or whatever, and he was looking down on top of my head, and I says, "That's all right. No, I am not worried about it." I said, "I can go to bed at night and go to sleep and don't have to worry about my feet hanging off the end of the bed." But every one of us are unique in our creation. But yet every one of us have all of the same features that God put into Adam when He molded him there in the Garden of Eden and breathed into him the breath of air, and he became a living soul. God gave us a skeletal system that supports all the rest of this creation.
Amen.
It protects much of this special creation. Our ribs protect our lungs and our heart. Our skull protects our brain. Our arms and legs, they allow us the ability to be mobile along with the muscular system that we have. We have the circulatory system that carries the blood throughout our body. But as it carries the blood throughout our body, it picks up the food that we take into our body. It picks up the air that our lungs process and carries to every part of this body. So that every inch of this body that we have has exactly what it needs to function. We have vital organs within our body that produce insulin, that produce the enzymes for our digestive system, that produce everything that this body needs. Do you think a piece of slime knows how to do that? I don't think so.
That's right. Amen.
God created us specially. We have within our body, we have a nervous system. That the brain that's within our skull sends out signals in many things. You know, we take for granted many times. You know, when we want to talk, our brain tells our body that, you know, it's time to talk. When we walk, our brain sends out those signals that we walk. That's not the mysterious part. Think of all the involuntary actions of this body.
Amen.
That our brain continuously sends out those signals.
Amen.
Our lungs continue to work and breathe in air. And it separates from that air the oxygen we need and kicks out the carbon dioxide.
That's it.
Amen. Our heart continues to pump the blood throughout our body. Our digestive system continues to break down that food we take into our bodies. Our liver continues to work. Our kidneys continue to work. Everything works. Our sight, from that brain that God placed within this skull.
Amen.
And that nervous system that goes out and sends all those signals. When we think of this, we have to say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
And when we think about this body that we have and the things that can be taken from this body and we can still continue to exist. You know, we can live with one kidney. We could live with one lung. There's many parts of this body that can be removed and we can still go on. Why is that? Because of the way that God engineered this body.
Right.
Many people may be missing limbs or portions of limbs. My grandfather, Cummins, lost his right arm below his elbow in a sawmill accident. He continued to live. He continued to make a living for his family. He continued in life. Why? Because God engineered that body, that he took what God left him and he continued.
Amen.
I didn't lose a limb or part of a limb, but I did manage to trim off the end of one of my fingers in a lawnmower one time. And unless I pointed out to you, you wouldn't be able to tell that on my left hand, my middle finger is shorter than what it should be. It hasn't prevented me from doing anything. Why? Because God engineered a body that would continue.
Amen.
God has made this body and he has fearfully and wonderfully
created a human race that's able to function in this world and be able to reason. Now, I'm not talking about human reasoning now. Human reasoning is good, but he's also in us who are saved by the grace of God, given us ability to look at the Word of God and to understand that there's nothing in this world that was not created by God. We're able to look at this scripture and we're able to look at the human body and the functions of the human body and realize that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. We didn't evolve from a lower form of life. We were molded there in our father Adam. And I believe every one of us at that time were in Adam's loins. Every one of us. For when Adam took of that forbidden fruit and he ate it, according to the scripture, we fell in Adam. We fell in Adam. And yet God continues to allow conception in this world. He continues to engineer every human being that comes into this world. Lord willing, this fall, our daughter Elizabeth will give birth to our sixth grandchild. And that grandchild is being engineered, being created the same way that I was. The same way that my wife was. The same way that my children were. The same way my parents were. The same way that all have been since Eve gave birth to the first child. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. But you know, being fearfully and wonderfully made in this physical body, I believe there's another way. We who are saved by the grace of God here today, who have been fearfully and wonderfully made. So we look in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, or chapter 5, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it always amazes me, and it's been said much throughout this conference, that why me? You know, why did God rest his love upon me before the foundation of the world? Knowing that I'm a son of Adam, knowing that I'm worthless, and as Isaiah says, we're less than nothing. Why? Because he loved me. That's the only explanation we get. Because he loved me before the foundation of the world. But when he came to us, each one of us who are saved by the grace of God here today, when he came to us in the power of the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit and quickened our dead souls and granted us repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were fearfully and wonderfully remade spiritually. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're new creatures in Christ. And Ezekiel speaks here in chapter 36. And I believe this, well, I believe explains to us or shows to us the process of this new creation that's within us. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and beginning in verse 25, he says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. I believe this is describing here the new creation within us when we were saved by the grace of God. Amen. That stony heart was removed. A heart of flesh was placed within us. And when we think of the heart of flesh, that means a heart that God has molded. One that hears and receives this word. You know, many people in this world have heard this word with their ear. And just having a head knowledge of this word, we can look upon the religious world and see what a mess that is. But when we are fearfully and wonderfully made in a spiritual manner, we can hear this word. And it molds us spiritually. We who are here today, who are members of true New Testament Baptist churches, God has molded that truth within our hearts. And those things become precious unto us. They become wonderful unto us. But as the new creation initially, God enabled us to hear. He enabled us to hear. In John chapter 10, and we're not talking about just hearing with the physical ear, but with the spiritual understanding. We were quickened. We were made alive. First by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As the Word of God was preached, and God quickened our souls and put that new fleshly heart within us, we also received new hearing. And Jesus says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, amen, and I know them, and they follow me." Amen. We follow Him. As new creatures in Christ, as new fearfully and wonderfully made spiritual beings, we hear Him and we follow Him. And it wasn't just the day that we were saved, but we begin to follow the Word of God. As we hear the Word of God and it's proclaimed unto us, God teaches us. Just as an infant comes into this world, as they begin to grow, you begin to teach them. You begin to teach them that you don't stick your finger in a light socket. It's going to hurt you. And as they do and you swat their hand, they begin to learn that discipline is a part of life.
Amen.
The child of God who is fearfully and wonderfully made as the Word of God is proclaimed unto us, it teaches us, it disciplines us, and we learn who our Maker is. And we learn what a wonderful book He has given us. You know, this book was written over many thousands of years. As we read many authors, but yet we find there's only one author, the Holy Spirit. Even though He moved men of old, and we have this wonderful book, and we have the wonderful record that God has fearfully and wonderfully made us, and we hear. We have also in this, we have spiritual sight. This natural body has sight. We can see. And if you've ever been around a person who is blind, you appreciate your sight much better. My mother was blind. She was blind in her right eye from birth, and over time, and health problems. Reason she, when she died, she was totally blind in this world. And to see and observe what a blind person can do is amazing. She run the vacuum in her living room. She cooked. She washed dishes. It's amazing. Now when they would sit down to eat, and my dad would put the food on her plate, he would tell her, "This is at 12 o'clock, this is at 3 o'clock, this is at 6 o'clock, this is at 9 o'clock. And she sat there and eat just like we do. It's amazing. But then again, when we receive spiritual sight, we see. We see. We see things that we couldn't see before, such as being fearfully and wonderfully made in the wombs. A spiritually blind person cannot understand that. Even those that say they don't believe in evolution do not see, as we do today, the truth of creation. They don't understand spiritual things. And the reason we understand spiritual things is because the Spirit of God dwells within us.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 8, and verse beginning in verse 14, Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." I like that. I'm the son of God. And I know that because I have spiritual sight. He says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." We are fearfully and wonderfully made a new creation in Christ. The Spirit of God dwelling within us. It opens up these scriptures. It opens up our spiritual understanding that we can hear and receive what God has for us. These many things that we've heard in this conference, and many concerning the present day and that which is to come. How do we understand those things? Because we're a new creation in Christ. We have been fearfully and wonderfully made. We've been geared by God that we can hear these things, receive them into our heart, and we can grow in grace and truth in His Word. As new creatures in Christ, He gives us the ability to discern the things that we hear here today. In 1 Corinthians in chapter number 2, first of all, in verse 9, he says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." This world has no concept of what lies ahead for the saints of God. And we don't know it all. We know very little. We've been given glimpses in the Scriptures. But what He gives us, because we are a new creation, because we've been fearfully and wonderfully made in Christ, we can understand what He has given us. But the world has no idea. That's why when you turn in the news today, as far as the world is concerned, it seems so gloomy. They're all trying to scatter around and make things perfect in their own way. But it's only going to get worse. But not for us. He says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of the Scriptures and reveals them unto us as God would have us to learn, preparing us for that time when time will be no more for us. "For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which in him or is in him? Even so, things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Now, we say in here, you know, we can read history, and I'm a history buff too. I love to read history. I love to read biographies about different individuals in history. And it's always interesting because you'll read this author about a certain individual or a certain event, and then you'll read this one over here, and it's all different. Why?
because this guy's a liberal and this guy's a conservative. They have a different perspective. But we learn from our history. We learn how the world has fashioned, and that today, even though we have the modern technologies that are here, the world mentality is still the same. Why? Because it's all run by Satan. But we are spiritually. We receive things spiritually because we're new creatures in Christ. Verse 12 here, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which with man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost, teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual."
Amen.
You see, as new creatures in Christ, we're not to use human reasoning. Human reasoning, if you try to apply human reasoning to the Word of God, you're going to go awry. Spiritual reasoning. And we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, which will guide us in these things. He says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And you hear all the time, "I don't use the King James Bible anymore because I just don't understand it." Well, if you're trying to go for anything else but the King James Bible, you're not going to have any understanding. I don't believe it's really the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to stick with what God has given us. Because the Spirit of God will reveal them unto God's children.
Amen.
As we consider this discernment we have, we can discern, as he said in verse 9, you know, "I have not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for us." The natural mind, it just can't comprehend that. But we can discern that from the Scripture. And we can look forward. And we can look forward many times with a homesickness, knowing what lies ahead for us, that which God has revealed unto us. But that also, I believe, brings us to a third position of being fearfully and wonderfully made. Something that's been quoted several times here, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we want to look at this perhaps in a little different angle. Beginning in verse 51, "And think about being fearfully and wonderfully made." You know, as we look at these old bodies we have here, these old bodies that we have, they couldn't stand heaven. They couldn't.
Right.
And one reason is because these old bodies are subject to sin. There'll be no sin in heaven.
Amen.
As the new creatures at this time is being saved by the grace of God, it's our soul and our spirit that have been fearfully and wonderfully made in the spiritual aspect. We're still housed in this old body of flesh, which is molded after Adam. But here we find it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We shall be changed. No longer will we dwell in a body of sin. No longer will we be subject to all the problems of this old world. We'll no longer be subject to the fatigue and the sin that so easily besets us. We'll be free. He says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." That's being fearfully and wonderfully made. A complete change.
Amen.
A complete change.
He says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You know, what he's telling us here also is death is not such a bad thing for a child of God.
Amen.
Even now, if we used to leave this world today and leave this old body behind, it wouldn't be so bad. In fact, it would be better.
Paul says that. It would be better.
But when we see here in this 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, he's talking about when we receive that new created body, that body, that perfect body, that holy body, that body that will no longer be subject to sin, that body will no longer be subject to the sorrows of this world,
amen,
that body that will have perfect sight, perfect hearing, perfect understanding.
Amen.
What a wonderful day.
Amen.
We'll be fearfully and wonderfully made. And we'll have the understanding of knowing why that God had this world the way it is. Allowed the things. He may not let us know it all, but I believe we'll have understanding perfectly when he delivers it unto us. And as we see here, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The victory is through Christ. What Christ endured in this world for us is going to bring us to this point of life that we can say will be fearfully and wonderfully made. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In that also, let's look over in 1 John for a moment. 1 John. Now, I don't know what we're going to look like specifically when we reach heaven, when this day takes place. I don't believe we're all going to look alike. I believe we'll all have our own identity. But that's because what the Lord says. Many will come in that day and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and talk. They're going to recognize Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. On the Mount of Transfiguration, who did the apostles see with the Lord Jesus Christ? They seen Moses and Elijah. They had their own identity. I believe we're all going to have our own identity. But at the same time, we're going to be exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us today have our own identity, but we're exactly like Adam. He says here in verse 1, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
How was the Lord Jesus Christ? What did he appear after the resurrection? He was a body of flesh and bone. His blood had been spilt. His blood had been sprinkled upon the mercy seat. We're going to have a body like unto his. We're going to be like him, just like we're like Adam now. We're going to be like him. We're going to be fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of Christ with our own identity. We know we're not going to be male or female, but we're going to be known for whom we are. And we're going to have a perfect understanding at that time. And I believe in that perfect understanding, we're going to shed tears one time. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the good and the bad that we've done in these bodies, we'll receive reward, we'll lose reward, and we'll shed tears over those those bad things we've done as far as losing reward, and the Lord's going to wipe away the tears, but they're going to be perfect tears because we're going to understand perfectly why we didn't receive any reward. You ever see contests today, especially sometimes amongst younger children? And I can remember this when I was a kid. And when you was in a contest when you was a kid, especially 8, 9, 10 years old, and there's a prize. Every 8 or 9 or 10-year-old child that's in that race or in that competition, their heart is set on receiving that prize. And I can remember when I was a child that we was in a contest, and I didn't win that. My sisters didn't win it. And we got back in the car to head home, and we were all crying because our heart was set on that goal. And only one won. But here, we're all winners.
Amen.
We're all winners. And we're going to have that perfect understanding that when the Lord says unto us, when He says unto me, you didn't do this the way I commanded you. And I'm going to understand. And I'm going to weep with perfect tears. And the Lord's going to wipe them away. And there will never be another tear shed. But I'm going to have a perfect understanding. When I see that city that's four squared, and I enter into the gate, and He gives me my mansion, I'm going to have a perfect understanding of that city. And I'm going to have a perfect understanding of its designer. And I'm going to understand everything about that city. Things that we read about now and that we discuss and we have questions about, there'll be no questions that aren't answered with a perfect answer and received with a perfect understanding.
Amen.
Fearfully and wonderfully made are we. Oh, what a wonderful day that'll be when we receive that final, fearfully and wonderfully made body that only we who know the Lord as Lord and Savior, only we who have experienced salvation will know. And when you think of that city, and we who are of the bride of Christ will be dwelling in there with the wife of God, Israel. And all the nations are going to dwell around her. Even some today that have in their mind that they're going to be in the bride of Christ will be dwelling around it. No one will be disappointed. No one will be disappointed. They'll bring all their honor into that city, as we who dwell in that city will take our honor and we're going to lay it at the feet of He who gave His life for us and say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. That Lamb that was spoken of yesterday in Genesis chapter 22, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Lamb that God provided for Himself. He's the one. He's our Creator. He's the one that's going to fearfully and wonderfully make us in those perfect bodies and receive us up into glory with Him. What a wonderful thought. Just today, just here as we are, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and what we have looked forward to in glory.